Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. On Friday, May the 9th, coming up, a Kent mum who suffered a broken neck tells us how she's been denied a blue badge. And we find out why thought-provoking messages from children are being broadcast in toilets at Bluewater. But first, we now know who's been chosen as the new leader of Kent County Council after Reform UK won last week's local election. The party has 57 seats at the authority, and all of those councillors gathered last night to choose who'll be in charge. They decided on Lyndon Kemp-Caron, who was elected last week to represent Maidstone South East. The journalist, writer and filmmaker lives in Headcorn and beat a field of six candidates, which included Maxine Fothergill, Paul Thomas and Brian Collins. The new authority leader has immediately said we should expect changes, and she's been speaking to local Democracy reporter Gabriel Morris.
What are going to be some of those key policies you're going to be looking at?
I can't really go into detail about policy now, but of course Reform came in on a ticket of saving money, getting value for money to the people of Kent, who of course pay our wages and pay for this amazing building here.
Nigel Farage has talked a lot about ending work from home. Is that something that you stand with as well?
I'm not going to make any promises at the moment, but we're going to be looking at all aspects of how everybody works inside this building.
So not ruling out work from home?
I'm not ruling anything in and out at this moment. I'm just saying we're going to be looking at everything.
That's going to be quite difficult. Unions won't be happy by that.
Well, you know, unions will be unions and Reform will be Reform. Reform are in charge of this council. You have to understand that we want a massive majority. We have absolute ultimate control. There is an opposition, but I'm not sure, you know, they're going to actually be able to change anything we want to get through. So Reform are in charge and Reform will be doing what we want to do.
You've got a Ukrainian flag in the chamber right now. Is that going to be coming down soon?
Yes.
How quickly?
Well, I don't know about timescales, but my point is, we are here to serve the residents of Kent. And if you'd been out on the campaign trail with me and my fellow councillors, you will have seen that some parts of this county are utterly, utterly destroyed. They've been neglected for years. The residents are, they're just in despair.
Well, what's taking the Ukrainian flag down going to do about
that? I'll tell you what it's going to do. This is Kent County Council. We are here to represent the residents of Kent. A foreign war that's happening thousands of miles away is simply a distraction. We are here to serve the people of Kent. That's what we were elected on. That's what we're going to do.
But thousands of the citizens now in Kent are from Ukraine. Refugees came over. They will say this is feels like their voice is being heard by having the flag flown here. What would you say to that?
I think the fact that they're here and they've come here legally and they've made their lives in Britain, some of them have gone back home to Ukraine, others may stay for a long time. That's absolutely marvellous. They're amazing people, the Ukrainians. They've contributed amazingly to our society. That's great. A flag doesn't change any of that.
We can also hear today from one councillor who lost his seat at KCC. Mike Baldock used to represent Swale West as an independent, but was beaten by former UKIP colleague Richard Palmer. He remains a Swale Borough councillor, but has been on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast explaining what might have gone wrong.
I think from the second week it was clear, talking not just to people in my area, but you know, in pubs and places across Sittingbourne, certainly. But this was going to be massive. People are not interested in politics. We're just saying, yeah, we're going to vote support reform. We've got to have a change. That's why I was surprised the turnout didn't drastically increase, because I think a lot of people who haven't voted before voted for a long time and might only vote in general elections turned out and voted. But where did the people who, you know, normally vote but don't vote Reform go? Did they stay at, well, they must have stayed at home.
Obviously, you're an independent politician, but even you know, sort of the whole claim of the distinction of independent politicians is often their independence from and difference to an existing political establishment and all the parties. But do you think that even for you, approaching voters as an independent politician, you still got the vibe from basic men on the street, essentially, that that you know, nobody trusted any politicians and reformers where they would go if that was what they wanted to express?
It was basically a Reform effectively turned into a national referendum on Starmer, and just the one single policy has stopped the votes. We know three word slogans work in the modern age, and that's what they hit on. And all I got was people really moaning about Starmer, winter fuel allowance, and local issues just went out the window. It was all national anti-Starmer, stop the boats.
Do you think that's a bad thing overall that people are voting on basically national issues, or do you think it's good that it's obviously engaged people, even if they're not necessarily voting on the efficiency of their waste disposal and social care?
No, I think the fundamental principle of Swale independence and independent candidates is that you fight an election on what that election's about, what you can deliver, what you can do. And I think it's dreadful when national politics overshadow local politics, because give Starmer a kicking doesn't work when they've only got five councillors on KCC. They're not a relevant body on KCC. So how are you giving Starmer a kicking? It was, other than on a national scale. So, yeah, I think it's a shame when national politics wash over local politics, because local politics, for their own reasons, are just as important as national politics. They will affect your lives day in, day out. And, they never get the same sort of attention.
Well, you can let us know what you think about the new makeup of KCC. What are your thoughts on the new leader? And indeed, what do you think Reform's policies should be? You can comment on the stories at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today: and a Kent teenager is due to be sentenced after admitting terror charges. Leo Walby shared material from groups including ISIS on sites including TikTok and Telegram. The 19-year-old from Swanley was arrested at a house in the town last October. He's expected at the Old Bailey. A man's been arrested following reports of sexual offences and threatening behaviour in Ashford. Armed police were called to a car park off Eureka Place off Trinity Road in Kennington on Wednesday evening. A 32-year-old is in custody. People living in Housing Association properties near Tunbridge Wells have been told they need to move out because they're beyond economic repair. The two-storey block of flats in Bidborough Ridge is owned by Town and Country Housing. They say extensive work would be needed to improve energy efficiency, including a new roof and windows, and have promised to find tenants new accommodation. Now, a Kent mum who's been left with long-term mobility issues after breaking her neck has been telling the podcast how she's been denied a blue badge. Bev Evans from Wateringbury was badly injured after falling down her stairs in 2020 and now struggles to walk. The 58-year-old broke two vertebrae in her neck and had to have a six-hour operation at King's College Hospital in London. The mum of three has been chatting to our reporter, Ellie Hodgson.
I use a walking stick to get around. I don't use it indoors, but I also don't, I'll come down in the morning and I don't go back up the stairs again until the end of the day, because going up and down the stairs is just too tiring. And I was working full time, and I was travelling into London a couple of days a week. Obviously, when I first went back to work, it was during the pandemic, so we were all working from home anyway, which made things a bit easier. Then when we started going back into the office and I was travelling up to London, well, I ended up basically having to give up my substantive job because I couldn't do the travelling into London that was needed for the job. It was just too much, just caused too much fatigue. And I even find now that it's sort of sometimes if we're out and about, if I do too much, then I just have to come back and just rest. I don't know if you can see, I've got another one over there, but this is a heated cushion. So I use that to sort of help, sort of in terms of the pain relief. So that's a sort of, use that all the time. So I'm sort of pretty limited. So I was advised by the hospital to apply for a blue badge, which I did. And then got rejected on the basis that I may get better. Not quite sure how they think that. And then then you're not allowed to apply again for 6 months. So I applied subsequently. And at that point, I'd actually had, I'd been seen by a neurosurgical specialist who had produced a report. And in that report, he literally has written that in my professional opinion, this woman is disabled under the Disability Act. I can't remember what year it was, but anyway, under the Disability Act, and it actually says it in the report, and I attached that as evidence to my application, and they came back again and said, no, your condition may improve.
Now, Bev has spoken out to support our campaign calling for blue badge reform, and we've had this response from the County Council.
KCC received approximately 44,000 blue badge applications last year and assesses each one on a case-by-case basis against criteria provided by government and the information provided by the applicant. We advise applicants to provide as much information about their condition as possible in order for a fully informed decision to be made. Applicants will only be contacted directly if there is a question about the information provided. We understand that the Council's decision is disappointing. If any applicant is unhappy with the Council's decision, we advise them to undertake the appeals process where they can provide more information and will be further assessed.
If you've also had an experience about being denied a blue badge, we'd love to hear from you. You can email news@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Kent Online reports.
A man's been arrested after a number of buildings on an industrial estate in Canterbury were evacuated. People were seen gathered outside Tool Station and offices in Winsheep yesterday afternoon, and nearby roads were closed. Police have confirmed they were called to reports of a person on a roof. A man in his 30s is being held on suspicion of criminal damage. A Chinese takeaway near Folkestone has been given a one-star food hygiene rating after inspectors found 30 violations. A report revealed black mould and greasy cobwebs were discovered at Peking House on Cheriton High Street. The owners have been contacted for a comment. Now, a summit's taking place in Canterbury today to try and encourage more hotels to open there, creating more jobs. It's being hosted by the council, with bosses saying the area's culture, universities and location make it a prime destination. The city and nearby Whitstable and Herne Bay attracts more than 7 million visitors each year. Plans have been put in for a solar farm on land near Canterbury. The energy company behind the idea say it would cover 250 acres between the villages of Hoth and Chislett and could power more than 13,000 homes. Some people living nearby have claimed it'll industrialise the countryside, though. Now, next time you're up at Bluewater Shopping Centre, have a listen out if you pop to the toilets, as you may well hear a thought-provoking message from a child. Young actors have voiced real-life experiences of children to highlight the impact of hygiene poverty. New research has found that one in four children in every classroom in Britain is affected by it. Well, Kate's been chatting to Michael Gidney, who's from the charity In Kind Direct.
We've actually surveyed children across the country to ask them their own experiences of hygiene poverty. And, you know, some of the findings make pretty grim and startling reading, really. Children report sharing toothbrushes with their siblings, so not being able to have their own toothpaste, which makes them worry that their breath smells when they go to school. They report having to go to school in dirty uniforms and worrying that they might be standing out in class for the wrong reasons. And underneath that, there is a really worrying response from children in the report about being bullied as a result. This means that young people are starting to, you know, avoid socialising with their friends. It means they're avoiding playing in sport. If they don't have deodorant, they don't feel they can be clean afterwards. So it sets up a whole load of societal problems for later on. So it isn't just about kids feeling exposed today. It's about what happens to them in the future. As I say, we in InKind Direct think this is a scandal that shouldn't exist. And what we are doing is trying to shine a light on the problem, because it can be solved. It's within our grasp to solve it. Part of what the solution is for products, working with charities like InKind Direct, companies giving products to, and then we give them out to a network of 6,000 community groups around the country to give out to young people and to communities. But also we need government attention. You know, the government really needs to pay attention to this. Later on in the summer, the government is launching a child poverty strategy, and it's our hope that they pay attention to hygiene poverty as a key factor in child poverty in the UK, and they take action.
And I suppose part of forcing the government's hand, of sort of forcing them to take action, is raising awareness within the public. Can you tell me a little bit about the campaign and your partnership with Bluewater and how that's going to work?
Absolutely. It's an incredibly important step. So it's pretty clear the government isn't going to take action on hygiene poverty amongst young people unless the public show they care. And so what we're doing in Bluewater across from the 2nd to the 11th of May is there is an interactive experience actually taking place in the restrooms in Bluewater Shopping Centre. And that's because restrooms are a place where we kind of take hygiene for granted. We take our own hygiene for granted, the ability to wash our hands and to be clean. And when you go into the restrooms at Bluewater, you will hear audio clips of actors who are young actors who are describing the feedback from the children in this research, the experiences of the young people themselves, how it made them feel. And our hope is that that will galvanise people to want to know more, to want to understand what we and In Kind Direct are trying to do to bring about a solution to this problem. And together we can create a big movement for change. Now, that campaign is the start of something we're going to be running across the summer, but it's a really important thing. So if anybody is near Bluewater over the weekend, it starts this weekend and it runs to the 11th of May, please come down and say hello. There'll be a group of us there from In Kind Direct, and we'll be able to talk to you about what we find, what we know, and encourage you to get involved.
Kent Online reports.
Bosses at Southeastern say they've seen a rise in lost property that's been reunited with owners since introducing a new digital scheme. Nearly 5,000 items left on trains or at stations were successfully returned last year. That's an increase of a whopping 144%. Some of the lost items include a set of church keys, a trumpet and an insulin pen. A walk around the Kent coast is taking place as part of events to mark the 200th anniversary of our railways. Meantime, the route from Gillingham to Folkestone is part of a 600-mile trail around Britain linked to railway stations. The people behind it are hoping to get more of us exploring the country by train. Now, Kent Wildlife Trust has submitted an offer to buy 36 acres of countryside in Lamberhurst. It's part of plans to convert Hoathly Farm into a nature haven, creating a corridor linking vital habitats. The charity is trying to raise £500,000 to buy 400 acres of land in total. Paul Hadaway is Director of Conservation.
Areas like this sit in a landscape that is a really interesting landscape. As you can see, there are hedges, there are woods, there are still these remnant areas of what was once here. But these arable areas in between, they are little deserts for wildlife. This is grey through agricultural land. It's not particularly productive land. And so it's hard to farm. It's hard to get good crop off it. And actually, there is a greater good, a greater public good, through actually managing these sites through a nature conservation lens and being able to actually think about how you use these sites to store greater carbon, to provide flood retention. The River Tees runs behind us through the valley. There's all sorts of opportunities here to do more and to buffer Furness in the landscape and begin to connect it up with other projects in this area. So here we're looking at taking the arable land back to pasture. We're looking at doing grazing in sort of low intensity numbers with our longhorns and other animals, reinstate some of the hedges, begin to allow the woodland shores to grow out and spread and join up, encourage more public access in the areas we want people to be visiting, and use it as a showcase where we can actually tell the story of how you can take an area like this and wild it back into a much more natural set of habitats.
Elsewhere, plans have been put in to convert a barn on the site of a Grade 2 listed manor between Folkestone and Dover. Bosses at Great Evident Manor in South Orkham want to change the building into 9 hotel rooms. There have been some concerns from neighbours over traffic, but the people behind it say it'll have minimum impact on the local area. Teachers from across Kent are going to be recognised later. It's the 25th anniversary of the Kent Teacher of the Year Awards, which celebrates all members of staff throughout the school. There were a record number of nominations and the prizes are being handed out at the Ashford International Hotel. And finally, a search is underway for Snow White and 11 dwarfs after they were stolen from a house in Chatham. The gnomes have been donated to a couple who'd put them on display in their front garden on Star Mill Lane. A local postman has even offered to send up a drone to help in the hunt. You can see exactly what they look like by heading to Kent Online.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it's a huge weekend ahead for Whitstable Town. They travel to Wembley on Sunday to take on AFC Whiteleaf in the final of the FA Vase. Kickoff is at 12:15. You'll be able to follow the action at Kent Online. Plus, we'll have reaction to the result in the podcast on Monday. In cricket, Kent will be looking to bounce back from their first defeat of the season as they take on Glamorgan in the County Championship from today. It follows a 2-wicket loss at Middlesex last time out. Play is taking place at Canterbury. And finally, in in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu is back in action in the second round of the Italian Open today. She's taking on Russian player Ekaterina Alexandrova. The British number two from Orpington will be looking to continue her improving form. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium, which gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. Hope you have a fantastic weekend, and we'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.